Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And our Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, for all that you've done for us, what you mean in our lives. And I pray now, Father, as we go forth with this message, that it would touch hearts and lives wherever it may be heard. For we give you praise and we give you glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Today's message is titled, Attack on Christianity. And the Holy Spirit began dealing with my heart regarding this message almost a week ago as we noticed some problems that were cropping up and things that were happening in our own ministry as well as Christianity in general around the world. So I began to delve into this as God began to lead me on this and show me what to do on it. So I ran a Google search on the internet. You know, Google's a very helpful tool sometimes. You can't believe everything you get there, but it can help you out a lot. So I did a search, just attack on Christianity 2018. That was my parameter. And although not all of them that came up were in 2018, I wanted to start off with the one from June 29th of 2016. Regular Christians are no longer welcome in American culture. This was in Time magazine on time.com, article Faith in America. And he goes on for just a moment here and says, for many American Christians who lean in toward traditionalism, these are have added to the sense that religious expression is under attack. And I find it today, if you are a mainstream, conservative, evangelical Christian, you're under attack. You're not only under attack by the enemy in a spiritual sense, but you're under attack in numerous other ways in the physical realm. Another article from December 31st, 2017. 8 ways the mainstream media attacked conservative Christians. And it's an article about how they were attacking Jesus on Christianity. Or on Christmas, rather. And there was another article, which I didn't make note of here, about an attack on Easter. As we see, many of the events that are important to the Christian faith, there's an attack against them. For years here in America, there's been an attack about saying Merry Christmas. Well, if you don't want to say Merry Christmas, that's up to you, but I'm going to. If you don't want to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that's okay. I still will, as I know what happened then. Just a few of the attacks that occurred in America. Then I saw October 3rd, 2018. Actually, just the day before I recorded this program. Kurdish authorities in Syria closed schools run by Assyrian Christians. October the 1st, 2018. Rebels in Burma detained more than 90 Christian leaders, shut down more churches. October the 1st, 2018. 4 children, grandmother among 17 Christians slain and attacked by Muslim herdsmen in Nigeria. And if you watch and follow some of the international news, you'll find out that there's a lot of this going on in the area of Nigeria right now, where Christians are being attacked and killed. September the 28th, 2018, Italian priest abducted at gunpoint in Niger. September 26th, 2018, Coptic Christians deprived of home worship hall in Egypt. Can't worship there anymore. You're out. September 26th, 2018. Nearly 30 Nigerian Christians drown in river attempting to flee Fulani attack. Fleeing for their lives, and they drown in the river. September 25th, 2018. 344 Chinese pastors signed a statement defending their faith in violent persecution. September 25th, 2018. Another plea as the church raises the plea after a Boko Haram attack. September 25th, 2018. China's pastors take their stand. Jesus is Lord. Those were all in the last 30 days. Christians being attacked around the world. In April of this year, April 20th to be exact, of 2018, a Fox News article said, "How long will I be allowed to remain a Christian?" I want you to think about that a moment. How long will I be allowed to remain a Christian? And some of you might think, well, yeah, I can understand that in some countries outside the United States. And I know there are those that listen to this program, that many of them are outside the United States, and you think there is no persecution of Christianity in America. But folks, there didn't used to be, not in the sense that we're seeing it now. Yes, maybe certain groups were laughed at and made fun of, but no real persecution. But it's not that way anymore. I'm going to quote a little bit from that article. "To say that Christians and Christianity are under a withering and brutal attack in certain areas of the world should be an understatement. In various parts of the Middle East, there is genocidal cleansing of Christians being carried out. Women, men, and their young children are being slaughtered because of their faith. And world leaders and most of the media turn their backs in bored indifference." Let me read that again. "World leaders and most of the media turn their back in bored indifference." You may not hear a lot about it in the news, but that doesn't mean it isn't taking place. Here in the United States, Christians and Christianity are mocked, belittled, smeared, and attacked by some on a daily basis. This is a bigoted practice that is not only increasing exponentially, but is being encouraged and sanctioned by a number on the left. To many of those who worship at the altar of political correctness have deemed that Christianity should no longer be respected. Rather, they assail it on a regular basis in a coordinated campaign to weaken the faith and its base." And that's a quote from a Fox News article dated April 20th, 2018. If you want to read the rest of the article, you can do a Google search for it. Fox News article, April 20th, 2018. "How long will I be allowed to remain a Christian?" Friends, it's not too much longer at the rate things are going. And if you do a Google search, as I mentioned earlier, for Christianity under attack 2018, you will find over 15 pages of articles that relate to the search. There are more pages than that that come up, but not all of them are related to this particular search in the sense that we're looking for here. Well, here's what the Bible says. It says in 1 John 3:13, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. It shouldn't shock you as a Christian anymore. The world hates you. Why do they hate you? because you are standing for what is true. You are standing for what is right. You know, back years ago, there was a comic book character, I guess he's still out there. Movies were made, there was radio programs. Character called Superman, a being that came here as a baby from another planet. And of course, part of the opening was fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. And there are people out there today, look at Christians in that same way, that we are standing for truth, justice, and the American way, and they hate us for it. So don't be surprised. Bible tells you that. Don't be surprised that the world hates you. Luke 21:17 says, in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, you will be hated by everyone because of my name. And you see that all the time. You go on television and you see Christianity mocked on a regular basis. You see people on television claiming to be Christians, faithful church attenders, that lead a life that would make some rank sinners blush. I see it over and over. There's a television program on a particular network, and it's about a church and the pastor and his family. And I thought, my God, if that church leadership is really the way it's portrayed in that television series, any church with a leadership like that needs to crash and burn because they are not taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in speaking of events that would take place in the last days, spoke these words in Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. It says, Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah." And I know right there you're going to say, hey, you read that verse a couple of weeks ago. That's true. We need to listen to it because it has a lot to say to us. Let's continue on. "They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come." And I want to pause here just a moment, because we've had incidents in the last just few weeks where it looked like an event was taking place that could possibly lead to war. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen tidal waves. We've seen entire cities wiped out by tsunamis. In just the last couple of weeks, we've seen famine. But whoa, it says here, but this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Verse 9, "When these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before the governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all nations. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. A brother will betray his brother to death." And I want to point out right now, we see that happening all the time. Brother betraying brother. Sister betraying sister. A father will betray his own child. We see that in many ways today. Betraying them in the sense, as I saw in a brief clip on the internet the other day in the news article, a father here in the state I live in the state of Tennessee, a father beating his child in a video. He was later arrested that day for child abuse. But it happens more and more. Children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And we read of children killing their parents for what they think they should inherit from the parent. I know a number of years back, and I don't remember the date, but some might remember the name, the Melendez brothers, killed their parents because they wanted the money their parents had. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus gave us some very stern warnings here, signs that we are to watch for as we are living in the last days, not the last days of the world, but the last days of this age. And this age is swiftly coming to a close. Something big is about to happen, folks. And that something big for the world is going to be the tribulation period, the coming of the Antichrist. But for the Christian, it's going to be the rapture of the Christians out of this world. And it could happen any time. A minister that I know of who is, I believe, about 88 years old, became ill, had a television program, television ministry, had to leave it. They didn't give him much hope. God raised him back up, brought him back on, signed a 3-year contract with several major television networks, where basically his program will be heard on every part of the globe, because he believes God has raised him up to give a final warning. And I've testified on this program many times before that when God called me into the ministry, he told me, you are to be a last days preacher. And I'm preaching, folks, in the last days. Time is running out. Everything Jesus stated in these verses that we just read has come to pass, or is currently being played out. Some of them have not only happened, but they're continuing to happen. All of these things will continue to happen right up to the end. One thing that I have great interest in is verse 10. The good news or the gospel must be preached to all nations. God called me into radio ministry back in about 1973-74, somewhere along that time frame. I put a radio program on that ran 13 weeks on a station in Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico, but it was broadcast in English to the United States. And I was on around midnight. I wasn't getting much response, if any. But I learned one thing from it. If you're going to do it, you need to know what you're doing. So I took the program off the air and told my wife, I'm going to college to learn about broadcasting. So I did. So I went back to college, got a degree in broadcasting. During that time, one of my classes, the easiest way to get an A, the sure way to get an A, was get a program on the radio. Well, we got a program on the radio, and we were on the radio for close to 20 years on numerous stations throughout the United States, as well as the Caribbean Beacon, which reached out internationally to an audience of that they knew of 1 million people that spoke English in that area on Saturday evenings. So that was my way of reaching out to the world. But since then, things have changed even more. And now, from a single location, we can reach out to the entire planet at one time. It is actually feasible to do so today. Now, I right offhand don't know of any program that does it all the same day at the same time because of time differences and so on. But it's possible. Someone could take a microphone and stand before a camera and be broadcast to the entire world to be seen at the same time. Today, with satellites and the internet, it's possible to reach anywhere on the globe. And in the early 90s, I worked for a company that built models of satellites for Hughes Space and Communications, models from 1/100th scale to full size. And I thought it was amazing to see some of these models as they were taken out of our facility, loaded on a big truck and hauled down to the actual plant where the real satellites were being manufactured. Watched one that was 3/4 scale that was hauled out, put on an enclosed truck and transported all the way across the United States to be hung between two buildings for DirecTV. I got to see the real things as they were being built and learned quite a bit about them. In fact, in my office, I still have models of several of the satellites that were being built in the 90s, including a model of the very first DirecTV satellite. And I'm still amazed at the technology and what takes place with satellite technology today. We have cell phones. We can reach out with that technology. As long as the person has a cell phone, I don't care where on the planet they are. There's ways to talk to them, maybe not through our regular cellular network, but through satellite phones. And I think I may have mentioned on a previous broadcast, I was reading a book where it's what they call a political thriller on a religious basis. And it talked about in the last days, is what it was talking about. And it was talking about these satellite telephones. And it mentioned a particular satellite, and my ears pricked up. I remember that. I have a picture of the model of it. And I thought, wow, it's even being written about in a book. So we've seen great technological advances, and we're witnessing humanity taking giant steps in many directions. But we're also seeing humanity taking giant steps back into anarchy. You can have an opinion or a belief, but if someone comes along and disagrees with you, they will bully you, they will berate you, they will call you names, and then sometimes they would even physically attack you. They can claim that what you have to say or what you're doing offends them. And it may be something just as simple as saying, yes, Merry Christmas. Christianity, which has been the mainstay of America, is now being attacked by ungodly people who hate not just you, but in reality, they hate God. I remember back in 2001 when the Harry Potter series and movies were very big, and somewhere I got hold of an article about Harry Potter and something to do with how it was affecting young people in the church. And I emailed that article to a couple of friends of mine to ask them what they thought about the article, to get their opinion. Well, they in turn apparently emailed it to other people, and along the line, it ended up looking like I had written the article, which was very negative about Harry Potter. And I'll have to say, to this day, I know nothing more about Harry Potter than the name. But I started receiving hate mail. I received emails calling me all kinds of names because I dared to speak against Harry Potter. I was told how this one person would sit around with their circle of friends and make fun of me because I didn't like Harry Potter. I dared to criticize Harry Potter. And you know, it had an interesting quirk to it, though, because a radio station, and I believe it was in Louisiana, and I'll have to say it's the type of radio station I would never listen to, put out a piece in my defense. And I thought, that's amazing. Because they came and said, he's entitled to his opinion. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian today, you must prepare to be hated. Over the past few years, I've heard a number of ministries talk about where is America in the Bible? And each one has a different opinion. There's a program on television every week that one of the things they stress is they have found America in the Bible. I listened to someone else just the other night, and they said, basically, you can't find America in the Bible. And frankly, everyone has their own opinions on it. People much smarter than I can't come to an agreement. Is America in the Bible or is America not? Frankly, I don't have an answer. However, if we look back in history, every nation that turned its back on God eventually fell and was swept into the dustbin of history. And if America doesn't wise up and wake up and turn back to God, we will also be in the dustbin of history. We will be a forgotten nation, one that was a has-been. Christianity is under attack globally, and in one of the last places you would think, the United States of America. Oh, maybe we're not out killing Christians as they're doing in certain other countries of the world. But don't think it can't happen here. There are those who, if they thought they could get away with it, would do it in a heartbeat. It's just, they're biding their time. All you have to do is look on the internet and other forms of media to find out how Christianity is being attacked. The major means of communication today is the internet, and many folks get their news and views of what's going on in the world in this manner. But I got news, folks, just because it's on the internet doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And I've seen some things taking place on the internet lately that disturb me. We had an event take place that involved something I found on our own website just this past week, that some of the links that we have to a couple of churches on our website, when I clicked on them, I got a warning that they were a dangerous site to go to. I've since contacted them. They're working on trying to get the problem resolved. But a major company that provides virus protection scanned their sites and declared them to be dangerous. One of the reasons was they promoted global religion. Now, it's true. They're promoting Christianity. But the world doesn't want to hear about Christianity. Yes, I contacted someone at the company that supplies the virus protection. They deny that they deliberately do us, but they said something popped up that caused it to be triggered. It's being researched, but it will happen again and again and again, because the devil hates Christianity. John 3:16, and we're so familiar with the scripture in the King James Version. I love to read it out of some of the newer translations sometimes, and the Jewish translation, because it says this, and this is the new Jewish translation, the Tree of Life version. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The complete Jewish Bible says his one unique Son. No one else like him. God gave his Son that we could have eternal life. The Bible also goes on to tell us, Jesus speaking here again in Luke 21:17, and you will be hated by all because of my name. I want you to know this, friends. These events are going to take place. I don't know when. No one does. I don't care what they tell you, no one knows when. Only God the Father knows. That's what the Word tells us. But the rapture of the church is going to take place, most likely sooner than later. And number two, if you die without Christ, you will be eternally lost. And number three, the decision is yours. You, and only you, can make that decision. You, and only you, can determine if you spend eternity with God or if you spend eternity in the lake of fire. That decision is yours. You can hate me for telling you about it. You can hate me for trying to warn you about it. But the choice comes down to you are the one who makes the decision. No one else makes it for you. Maybe you're thinking about, I'd like to become a Christian. Well, here's some things that you need to know. First, you must realize that you're a sinner. Some people don't think they're sinners. Some people say, I've lived a good life. I've not done anything wrong. But Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born a sinner. And only the grace of God through the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary can change that. The Apostle Peter tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. I don't care. You can call upon Muhammad. You can call upon Buddha. You can call upon Allah. You can call upon Confucius. You can call upon Hare Krishna. You can call upon any of these names. But only the name of Jesus will save you. And I know there are those out there, even in the Christian world today, that would declare me to be an evil person for simply stating the truth. How do we do it? All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, the choice is yours. But if you're ready, would you pray this prayer with me? This prayer, by just repeating the words, will not save you. But if you pray this prayer, you don't even have to pray it word for word the way I pray it. But you mean it with all of your heart. You can be saved. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I realize that you gave your life for me on the cross of Calvary. Your blood was shed on my behalf. I ask you to forgive me of all the sins I have committed, both known and unknown. I ask you to change my life and to give me life eternal with you. I thank you for what you are doing for me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've sincerely prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive your sin, I want to be the first to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible also tells us that the angels rejoice when you made that decision. And one other thing I'd like to ask of you. It's not going to cost you anything but maybe a postage stamp. Share with someone, but also share with us what God has done for you. You can write to us at the Lord's House, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 38401. Or you can email us at pastor@tlhf.us. The announcer, Casey, is going to give you that address again in just a moment. And until next time, may God's richest blessings be on you and your life.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.